Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ahí va a llegar el gol del Arsenal. Ozil marca. Mesut Ozil. Corner. Llegó el gol de Olivier Giroud. Marca el Arsenal. Marca Olivier Giroud. Gol de los Gunners.
This is Arscast Extra.
Hello there, welcome to another Arscast Extra, as always, with James from Gunnerblog. Goodly morning to you.
Goodly morning, as always. Here I am. How you doing?
I am okay. Bank holiday there, I believe.
It is indeed a bank holiday weekend, yeah. So, but no, not for me, is it? Here we are doing the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Dedication to our craft. I think you could call it a craft, couldn't you?
I don't know. I think that might be pushing it.
Yeah. It's like that thing where if you do voiceovers, the idea that you're a voiceover artist has always seemed a bit wanky to me. And I am a voiceover artist, so, you know, in so many words, but I find that a little bit, there's not too much artistry to it.
Voiceover guy. You're a voiceover guy.
Yeah, voiceover bloke. That was, exactly. A bit of that. All right. Well, how has your bank holiday been so far anyway?
It's been great. I've actually been away. I've been in Brighton, sunny Brighton this weekend, doing a comedy show. I say sunny Brighton. On Saturday, it was torrential storm, so that was exciting. It was good being on the beach for that. But not too bad. It's been good. I've been working, so I haven't actually seen that much of the football. I've only seen little bits and pieces of the Champions League final. But
all right.
A sad ending, certainly, to see Ronaldo holding that trophy aloft. I mean, there's no joy in the world, is there? There's no justice. I would have loved to see Alessio do it.
Yeah, so would I. But, I mean, you can't then... You just can't escape the fact that they're serial losers.
This is it. Specialists in failure. Yeah. What about your weekend? Any good?
Yeah, it was good. Went to the beach with the dog. I didn't get into the sea. The dog got into the sea. He seemed to enjoy it quite a great deal.
I've seen, photographic evidence. Yeah, I mean, He looked like he was having a lovely time.
He did. He had a great time running up and down and trying to chase rocks. He's not a dog for chasing balls generally, but if you throw a rock, he nothing could be better.
Is that not hazardous, throwing a rock for your dog?
Well, normally I fling them like high in the air and far away, but there are times where I fling a rock and he runs after them, and I do worry that the trajectory of the rock and the dog's run might intersect in a very bad way sometimes. But so far, so good. It's been all right. But yeah, no, he just loves to chase rocks. I don't know what it is. You throw a rock in a river and he'll jump in the river and he will find either that rock or some other rock. He won't return without a rock. Sometimes he emerges from the water sopping wet with what could only be described as a boulder in his mouth. And he's running along and then just spits it out.
Like Obelix or something. I mean, I suppose the good thing about the rocks is if you throw a ball and he can't find that ball, he's going to be disappointed. But if you're somewhere where there are rocks... Inevitably, he will be able to discover some sort of rock.
Yeah, there are always more rocks around. So, yeah. Hello? Are you there?
Hello. Sorry, lost you for a second there. I'm back. I'm back in the room.
You're back. Okay, we're having some connection issues, I think. So we could edit that out or leave it. I don't quite
know. Who knows? Who knows? Well, I mean, if you're listening, you'll know the answer to that question. What did we decide to do? Did we take it out or did we just leave it in?
Yeah. It's all part of the mystery of this podcast. So, yeah, no, it was jolly pleasant. It's been sunny here, which is great. Just
amazing.
Lifting up the blinds there in my office.
Is it still sunny?
Yes. Yeah. I've just opened the window and it's not freezing. It's marvelous. It could be that summer has arrived.
It could be. It feels a bit like it has, doesn't it? This feels like the first podcast we've done where it feels like the league season is properly gone away now.
Yeah, well and truly over. There have been some playoffs and stuff like that, haven't there? There's one today, isn't there?
Yeah, that'll be, I guess it's the League Two playoff for a place in League One. Hull City, with Tuber Akpom and Isaac Aidan in their ranks, were promoted to the Premier League.
I didn't even see if they played in the game, did they?
Again, I didn't see the game. Let's have a look and see.
Yeah.
I don't think they would have started, certainly, either of them.
Right.
I think there's a chance Akpom might have got off the bench. He did not even. So Hayden wasn't involved in the matchday squad, and Akpom didn't get off the bench.
Right. So fairly disappointing loan spells for both those guys, really.
Yeah, I mean, Tuber Akpom's sort of, you know, goals-to-game record generally across his loan spells is a little bit troubling.
Yeah.
In that he hasn't scored any goals.
But he did start very well, didn't he, at Hull? He got a hat-trick or something, or he scored in his first two games.
Yeah, something like that. And he scored a hat-trick in the FA Cup as well.
7 goals from 41 appearances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay. I mean, a lot of those have been as a sub.
Yeah.
But there's definitely, you know, he's obviously technically great and really promising. He's been involved with England at youth level. But I think it'd be interesting to see what happens in the next season. I guess it wouldn't be the worst thing for him to stay at Hull if they want to keep him.
Yeah. Well, I think we've got to send him on loan again.
Mm.
I don't think there's any chance of him making a breakthrough or being good enough to play for the first team next season, you know, particularly as everybody is already clamoring for a striker, like a real striker, not one of your like 24 goals in one season bullshit like Giroud, a proper one.
Yeah, a proper one. 25 goals.
Yeah.
Well, no, I just looked up now, and according to George Bird, who is, you know, the man for Arsenal youth stuff,
he
says that Akpom has 7 goals in 67 senior appearances.
Right.
So, of course, it's super early days, but you'd hope he'd translate his prolific form at youth level to senior level a little bit better than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we shall see.
We shall see. But anyway, Hull promoted to the Premier League. That's something for Hull, I guess.
Steve Bruce could be back in the Premier League.
Yeah, unless they fire him during the summer.
Well, you never know. He's talking about quitting, actually. He's talking
Is
about
he?
Quitting. But yeah, because I think he's worried that there's going to be a takeover at Hull and he's not quite sure how he'll fit into that. He's the manager who's been promoted to the Premier League 4 times now. I think that's a record.
How many times has he been relegated from the Premier League?
I don't know, about 10.
That's the key question.
He also holds a record for that.
Yeah, fair play.
He's a yo-yo manager, a bouncy manager.
So, yeah, okay. Well, that was the domestic football. And then, of course, there was the Champions League final. So you didn't see an awful lot of it, no?
No, I mean, recount it to me. What were the highlights? It sounds like Pepe made quite the show of himself.
Okay, well, here are the highlights as I remember them. The first half was not particularly great, and Real Madrid scored a goal. Sergio Ramos credited with the goal, and it looked to me on first viewing that he didn't touch the ball at all. And I said on Twitter, I don't think he touched that. And loads of people went, he did. He did definitely touch it. And then I watched replays of it over and over again. And I still can't see that he touched it. But nobody seems to be talking about it, so he must have.
Is it like a cross that, you know, sort of bounces in kind of thing?
Yeah, sort of curled in. Toni Kroos took a free kick in. Gareth Bale flicked it on and it sort of bounced just in the 6-yard box and he stuck a foot out at it. And it was one of those where maybe he touched it. It was the faintest of touches, but went through the keeper's legs and in. Then what happened? Okay.
I mean, if the alternative is Gareth Bale getting it as a former Spurs man, maybe we should let Ramos claim that one.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And then there wasn't enough violence in this game for me. I was really thinking that there was going to be, like, Simeone's teams, Atletico Madrid, Real Madrid, the great city rivalry, the fact that, you know, they've beaten them a couple of times, haven't they, Atletico Madrid recently? But, of course, the 2014 Champions League final must have stung them in a very big way, of course, because they were so close to winning it. And then Ramos, again, scored in the Champions League final. He scored that day to bring it into extra time, and then they went on to win. in it. But I thought there was going to be, I thought they were going to kick the fuck out of each other. I really did. And there was none of that. So that was quite disappointing. Then in the second half, Atletico Madrid equalised. That was good. The guy ran off and had a snog with some girl in the stand who we assume is his girlfriend or wife, or maybe just some random girl that he just ran over and laid the gob on her. So that was quite a unique celebration. And then there was the Pepe incidents. They missed a penalty, Atletico Madrid, very early in the second half. Griezmann smacked it off the bar, which was a bit shit. Right. So that was going on. And then Pepe twice was riding around on the ground going like, as if someone had, I don't know, flayed his face off. Like taking the time to do something like Hannibal Lecter might do and just sort of cut with a very sharp blade, you know, do the incision right under the hairline and go all the way around to, let's say, the top of the ears and then just literally go and peel his face off. If somebody had reacted like that to that happening to them, you would understand it, but nothing much happened. Somebody touched his face on one occasion, and I don't know what happened on the other occasion. He wasn't penalised at all by Mark Clattenburg. And then did you see the Clattenburg video?
No, what's this?
Oh, I mean, you haven't seen?
Very entertaining.
Oh, right. Okay, I'm going to have to find this for you here and show it to you because... there's no way really of describing it other than it was disgusting. Like, absolutely, it was horrible. Basically, he put his tongue out. Okay, here we go. I'm going to send it to you here. Where will I send it? On the chat thing in this?
Yeah, why not?
Okay,
why not?
Let's do it. So you can see it here.
Okay. I'm getting it up.
Woo.
It's not that sort of video. Okay, I'm watching him. Oh, Jesus, God. Why? Why is that happening?
I don't know, but that's the noise he makes. You can guarantee you that's the noise he makes. He was going like...
The world's cameras, the watching world.
Yeah, Mark Clattenburg did that.
I mean, he's impressively dexterous, but distressing all the same.
It is, because... We do not need to be reminded that Mark Clattenburg has a tongue and perhaps uses it in that way at times. Who knows?
Oof, my word.
So that was that. So I blame Pepe for that.
It sounds like you're entitled to be honest.
I think so. It was quite disgusting. And then the game went to extra time. And then the game went to penalties.
Everybody had cramp. That's what everyone was shouting about on Twitter.
Yes, there seemed to be quite a lot of cramp. But then the penalties came, and I don't quite know what the thinking was on behalf of the Atletico Madrid goalkeeper. What's his name? Oblak?
Yeah, Jan Oblak, yeah.
Very good shot stopper, but clearly has never faced a penalty in his life or has no idea what to do. Because
what was he up to?
He just stood there. I think he was waiting for a Panenka or for somebody to stick it down the middle. And he just kind of stood there. He barely moved for any of them. He didn't dive. And Real Madrid's penalties were good. I mean, the first penalty they took was a young defender, I think, or midfielder who came on. Somebody had to go off. Could have been Carvajal who had to go off, and he brought this young defender guy on. I don't know what his name is. Vasquez, I think. Really, really good penalty. And you've got to give Madrid credit. The five penalties they took were excellent, but they were helped somewhat by the fact that the goalkeeper just didn't move.
Right. That will help. Hey, does he not know he's supposed to go for the sort of grobbelaar Dudek dance on the line?
Yeah. Yeah. Try and do something, but I mean, he looked easy to beat every single time. And then Juan Fran hit the post, the bottom of the post, it bounced out, which left Cristiano Ronaldo, who had done like literally fuck all for the entire 120 minutes. I don't think he was any way fit, despite what they said about him. He didn't look in any way fit, really. He'd done nothing and then scored the penalty, and that was a decent penalty. You know, there's a bit of pressure, I guess, when you're taking a penalty to win the Champions League. But he then took his top off, as he does.
Of course he did.
Any excuse to take his top off, he will take it off. Oh, this milk is delicious. Top off. Woo! Just anything.
I mean, do we have any simple... I mean, if I had his body, would I take my top off more? That's the question.
It's a good question. Would you?
It depends on the temperature. Was it a warm night?
Well, probably. It was Milan in May,
maybe
I guess.
Maybe I would. Maybe I would, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he's worked hard for it. Do you know what I mean? So...
Yeah.
I think a bit of sympathy, maybe. I mean, was he injured in the game, Ronaldo?
Was he injured? No.
Because I've seen stories subsequently about, oh, he's going to miss the friendly with England on Thursday night.
Well, maybe. Maybe. I don't know.
Of course he made himself the you know, was he the fifth taker?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he fancied it. He knew the moment could be his, didn't he?
Absolutely. Safe bet when you've got a goalkeeper who doesn't dive for penalties. He must have known that was the case as well. But look, I suppose, you know, you're when it comes to penalty shootouts, you probably do want somebody good to go fifth, even if there was probably a bit of chase in the glory for Ronaldo, which is not like him. Normally, he's a very subtle, understated, modest kind of chap. But this time, he just couldn't control himself.
Humble, the most humble of guys.
Yeah, so that was the Champions League final. Ultimately disappointing because you would have liked to see Atletico Madrid win it. I mean, they played some really nice stuff. The guy in midfield, Gabby, is fucking superb. He's a really great player, and he was fun to watch. But overall, as a game, I was hoping for like a 4-4 and a last-minute winner or something like that. I know it's ridiculous, but yeah.
We don't know who the real winner was, though.
Who?
Hector Bellerin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Hector.
Poor old Carvajal. He appears to be in some doubt now for Euro 2016, and Bellerin's been the beneficiary. So he wasn't named in the original Spain squad, was he, for the Euros?
No, he wasn't, but he was brought into the squad with a number of other young players or players who are making their way in the game to be part of the squad for some of the friendlies that they were going to play, because I guess it allows Vicente del Bosque a chance to look at some younger players and also maybe give some of the guys who are going to play in the tournament a bit of a rest and keep them relatively fresh rather than tire them out with friendlies at the end of a long season. But Carvajal, he was in tears leaving the pitch on Saturday night, which may have been because he wanted to play in that game badly or because he knew the injury was bad. So we'll have to wait and see. But Hector did 90 minutes in a 3-1 win over Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Mm. His Spain debut, is that his official senior debut?
Yeah, played the full 90 as well. So a good day for him. And if Carvajal is injured, he may well stay with the squad. We'll have to wait and see. But that would be just another step in the meteoric rise of Hector Bellerin.
Just one more rung along the ladder to signing for Barcelona.
That's what everyone is saying, of course. Oh, my God, he's going to be stuck with Piqué all summer and they're going to do the whole DNA thing and everything else. But look, I don't know. You can't afford to worry about those kind of things, can you? They're out of your hands. There's nothing we can do about them. They're out of our hands, and we have to trust that Hector is a young man who's enjoying life in London and at Arsenal at this moment in time. I think it's probably inevitable if he continues his development as a footballer. At some point, having grown up in Barcelona, a Barcelona boy, and having left there at 16, you know, the lure of going back to your hometown club, the club that you supported as a boy, is pretty immense. But I just don't think it's an issue straight away.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right. You know, also since we last spoke, Arsenal bought a player.
Yes. Yes, they did.
Granit Xhaka.
Xhaka, 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 mushroom.
I saw that video, by the way. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, Czech's Magic Hat. Check it out on Twitter, who did that. But yeah, we bought an actual real-life player, and I'm happy with that. I think he's good.
What have we seen of him so far? He's done some interviews with Arsenal.com.
Yeah.
He's saying all the right things, but they usually do, don't they?
They do. They do. But he's got good English. I like that. He says he can still improve his English, but his English is far better than my Swiss.
I mean, these Swiss are excellent. Philippe Senderos spoke about 10 languages, didn't he?
He did.
His time at Arsenal.
Yeah. Two of them were computer languages and one of them was Klingon.
No, I'm really excited about it. And it's, you know, what other Premier League club has completed a major deal at this stage?
I certainly
can't name any off the top of my head. It's, we've moved really fast and efficiently and got something done. Let's hope, you know, we did that kind of last year with Petr Cech, but let's hope that this is the start of our summer transfer business rather than the end.
Yes, yes, for sure.
Well, it has to be, doesn't it? It must be.
Of course, because there's so many stories, there's so many comings and goings. All the left-backs in the world, we're being linked with all the left-backs in the world.
I mean, the one we were linked with from Wolfsburg, Ricardo Rodriguez, another player with ties to Switzerland after Elneny and Xhaka, is an excellent player, I have to say. Whenever I've seen him play, really, really impressive.
Do you think that wouldn't surprise me if there was something in that, given that, you know, when we bought Mertesacker, we then had Podolski and Ozil come in, so we had this little German contingent. So I do wonder if, in order to keep, not in order to keep Xhaka happy, but, you know, Arsene Wenger does like to make players feel comfortable. Bring in another Swisser, that'd be good. They'd be pals.
Be,
you know, he's got like a travelling mate when they go on international duty. He's got someone to go to the airport with. They can carpool. I think Arsene Wenger is clearly concerned about the environment, and that would be part of that. He would spend millions and millions of pounds on a footballer just so there would be less carbon emissions going from North London to whichever airport they go to. Which airport do you fly to Switzerland from?
That's true, yeah.
But from which airport? Would you go to Stansted? Do EasyJet fly to Switzerland? Is it Ryanair from Luton? Where is it? Where is the airport?
I don't know. I mean, maybe Luton. Luton's nearest London Colney.
This
isn't
is
it?
Your part of the world. You should know this.
Yeah, I know. But how often am I flying to Switzerland?
What? Not enough.
Clearly not enough. But listen, Ricardo Rodriguez will be a very different kind of left back signing to, say, Celtic's Kieran Tierney.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Rodriguez, they're talking about a sort of £19 million release clause, and given the quality of the player and his reputation, he'd be someone who'd be coming in expecting to play certainly a lot more football than Kieran Gibbs managed last season.
Yeah, which was almost none.
I think he started 3 Premier League games and only one of those was as a left back.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting one. Do you expect Gibbs to go still?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
I think there's too many left backs linked for us to be not in the market for one. I think that's definitely it. Well, would you have any it's Ricardo Rodriguez. Did we say Roberto? I might have said Roberto. I don't know.
I can't remember. I hope not.
Roberto Rodriguez is he's a film director, isn't he?
Probably.
He is.
Probably.
He did that
An American filmmaker, screenwriter, musician. Very true.
There you go.
He directed the 1992 action film El Mariachi.
There you go. See?
Once Upon a Time in Mexico. The Spy Kids films. A film called Planet Terror.
Yeah.
Which I don't know what it is, but that sounds good.
Well, there you go. Yeah, he's done some new TV series. Did a new TV series, I think, which is supposed to be quite good, because I did hear him on some podcast. Could have been the Mark Maron podcast. Anyway, we're off the topic. Ricardo Rodriguez, though, from Wolfsburg. Would you have any reservations? Just the hair. The hair.
There's a lot of hair, isn't there?
There is.
There's a lot of hair going on. And obviously, when you're flying down the wing, the last thing you want is for that to be tugged back.
Exactly. You don't need to give anyone something to grab onto. So, I don't know.
No, true. True, Reggie Blinker style, having his hair yanked.
We could insist on him having a good short back and sides before
Maybe
he joins.
That could be part of his medical.
Yeah, exactly. Unless he's like Samson, though. What if he's like Samson and all his power comes from his hair?
Like Bakary Sagna. Do you remember the game he didn't have his hair extensions in?
Yeah.
And he was rubbish.
And he went to Man City and has been basically rubbish there too. Because he doesn't have the braids anymore.
Speaking of Swiss people and Xhaka, did you see his pass in the build-up to Switzerland's goal against Belgium this weekend?
Do you know what? I sort of didn't watch it on purpose.
Right, okay.
Do you want me to explain why?
Yes.
All right. I saw it doing the rounds that, we've just signed this guy, and here he made a great pass in the build-up to a goal that Switzerland scored. And there was part of me that was going, pre-assist, pre-assist.
I know what you mean.
And then there's part of me that, you know, I like when players do good things, but I'm not sure I want to get on board the hype train of a guy making one good pass in a friendly game that nobody gives a fuck about. So I deliberately didn't watch it because of that. But I guess it was one of those, picked it up from deep, left-footed, sprayed it out to the wing, and the guy did something with it and scored?
I mean, you're absolutely right. It was like a 50-yard sort of left-footed crossfield pass out to the wing where a guy then headed it through on goal and someone finished it off. But the only reason I bring it up is because I feel like that's a kind of pass that we haven't seen much of from Arsenal in the last couple of seasons. You know, those sort of long raking balls. And it'll be interesting to see if he brings that to the team or if, you know, he adapts to our more short passing style. Because look, from the little I've seen of him on the YouTube videos and what have you, and what truer test of a player can there be than a YouTube compilation, that range and depth of passing does seem to be a big facet of his game.
Isn't it also, though, somewhat dependent on having players to pass to?
Of course,
a manager instructing his wide players to stay wide and give us some width, whereas we like it narrow, don't we? We like to just plunge straight through the triangle in the middle, if you get what I'm saying. So for that to work, or for us to see the benefit of that range of passing, we've then got to have those players out wide who can pick up the ball and control the ball. That's another important part of that.
So that's Walcott out.
maybe that's part of why Arsene Wenger has brought him in order to allow his team to be a bit more expansive from deep positions and to stretch the opposition a bit more quickly rather than tippity-tappity build up in the middle of the park. So yeah,
what else to say? Petr Cech became the Czech Republic's all-time most capped player. Have you saw that?
I didn't. Good for him.
He kept a clean sheet against Malta.
Wow. Well, I mean, if ever an achievement in a goalkeeper's life stands up to the test of scrutiny, it's that.
David Ospina didn't keep a clean sheet against Haiti.
That's true. I did see some rather marvellous commentary on that. Did you see that?
With added reverb, yes.
With added reverb. I think we should play a bit of it. Here it comes. This is from Arsenal Fan TV's Twitter. Here we go. Hang on.
Aliendo Guerrier. Viene atrás primero. David Ospina. David Ospina. Le quedó atrás la pelota otra vez para Mustifar. Mustifar con la pelota. Viene Mustifar para levantar la pelota. Levanta la pelota. Mustifar. Mete la pierna primero. Fabra. Viene errando el tiro a la esquina.
It's brilliant. I have no idea what they're saying. It's far too fast for me to understand. Apart from the David Ospina bit, it's far too fast for me to understand what the hell is going on there in Spanish. But he certainly is a quick talker, that guy.
He is. Martin Tyler could learn a thing or two in terms of pacing.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say.
I know what else to talk about.
Numbers?
Yeah. We're missing the big thing.
I know, it's what's going
thing.
On, Andrew. It's all over the place. I can't keep up.
It's mad. It's kind of crazy because Ramsey moved from 16 to 8 after Alexis had moved from 17 to 7. Then we got a story about Ramsey moving from 16 to 8. Then Granit Xhaka was awarded number 16. And just as a joke on Arsblog News, we did a story about Per Mertesacker changing his number, and instead of a number, he's going to wear a clip RB on his back, because I thought, well, this is kind of ridiculous. And within an hour of putting up that story, they'd put up another one where Iwobi had changed from 45 to 17, the number left vacant by Alexis. And there could be more. There could be more changes, couldn't there?
Yeah, I mean, the surprising one for me, I mean, was Xhaka, just because he's got the number 34 tattooed on his back, and there was a lot of talk about him having spoken to Coquelin and that he would inherit the number. But he's gone in at 16, so I don't know, he's probably booked in for, I don't know, tattoo repair next couple of weeks.
Could there be a little connection, though? Because if you think about it, 34, 3 plus 4 is 7. 16, 1 plus 6 is 7. So maybe it's a 7 thing, and he's happy enough with the 7.
Maybe.
Yeah.
He must be furious Alexis actually took 7.
Yeah.
I like Aaron Ramsey 8. That's got a nice ring to it, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't mind that at all. Eight's a good number for Ramsey, I think.
It's been a good number, you know, down the years for the club.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they're all jigging around all over the place. We'll see if more, you know, what if Kieran Gibbs goes this summer, then number two and number three could potentially both be available.
Well, Debushi has two, doesn't he? So it depends what happens with Debushi, but I guess we're expecting him to leave.
There's number nine, of course, the haunted number nine, still up for grabs.
Yeah, no cunt wants that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
Sonogo petitioning furiously for the nine shirt.
Yeah, can imagine how badly his career would go on top of how badly it's already going if we gave him the number nine. One of his legs would just fall off in the middle of a game. Sonogo's legless, everyone.
Yeah. And then we wait and see what happens with the number one shirt, which technically belongs to Wojciech Szczesny, I guess.
Yes. Yes, that's going to be a very interesting one because we do have that goalkeeping issue to resolve with Ospina, with Szczesny coming back, with Emi Martinez coming back as well on loan. We're going to have a goalkeeper surplus, like an EU food mountain, but with goalkeepers. So something's got to give there.
I mean, Szczesny's intimated he already knows where his football's going to be played next year. But I certainly haven't got a clue.
Yeah, me neither. And Roma have just bought a Brazilian goalkeeper called Alisson. And Szczesny, when he was sent on loan to Rome, a lot of people thought it was because the club had grown fed up of him and his antics and his smoking ways and all that kind of stuff. But my understanding of it is that it was not a door being closed move at all, that they were very open to him playing there for a year and coming back and perhaps maturing and then waiting to see, you know, what happens, whether he's prepared to play second fiddle for a year or two to Petr Cech and maybe learn a bit from there. But I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. It doesn't strike me that Szczesny would be necessarily happy to sit and be number two. If he's been playing regularly for Roma, playing Champions League football, I mean, he was Arsenal's number one for what, four years, five? I don't know. For a good number of years anyway. So it seems unlikely to me that he'd want to sit and be number two. But then I don't think David Ospina wants to do that either. So we'll see.
Well, maybe it'll be a big summer for Emi Martinez. I don't know. We shall see.
Yeah. All right. Anything else? There was that appointment in Manchester, of course.
The surprise appointment. I, for one, couldn't believe it when it was confirmed.
Yeah.
Who saw that coming?
Yeah.
Glad they got those image rights sorted in the end, though.
Yeah, I wonder what the situation with that was. That Chelsea owned the trademark to Jose Mourinho's name?
Yeah, I think that was correct. Yeah, I mean, it's ludicrous, really. But how do you feel about that whole thing, about him turning up there?
I think he's a cunt. I think... I think that it's going to be kind of fun to really, really dislike Manchester United again, because
that's what I think.
He will instantly make all of their players 25% more cunty. And this is, you know, the great rivalry that we had between Arsenal and United in the 90s and the early part of the 2000s was incredible. Like, just brilliant football, two brilliant teams that hated each other. There was no pretending, was there? There was no, oh, well, you're all right, really. No, we hate you and you hate us. And that's great. We love that. And that rivalry that grew out of that for those years was just superb. When you look back on it, we might be a bit more wistful now and think, okay, we can be slightly more magnanimous about things. But it was good. It was good to hate them. But we hated them because of a genuine football rivalry, right? Because they were a really, really good team and we were also a really, really good team. And whatever you might say about Ferguson or United, that as a football team, they weren't negative in any way. They always tried to be positive. They tried to score goals. They played attacking football. And the rivalry that we had with them was based on just the combustibility of two great football teams coming together at exactly the right time. What this latest iteration of United rivalry that we'll have and every other team will have will be based on the fact that Jose Mourinho is a fucking prick. and that is where he goes. I mean, that's just how he operates. Everyone hates him. Even the United fans, up until the point where they appointed him, hated him. Because how can you not hate him? But when he's your manager, I guess it's different. You're coming at it with a different perspective. But for the rest of us, for the rest of the Premier League, his antics, his nonsense, his lies, his borderline sociopathic behaviour, the way that he treats people, the way that he dismisses others, it's gonna be magnificent in its... I don't know. I just don't have the words to describe what a cunt fest this is going to be. Mourinho at the biggest club in England, with the biggest ego in England, this almost feels like what he's waiting for. And I hope he goes off the fucking charts mental. I really do. Because he did it this season with Chelsea. He went bananas. There's something like wrong there with the way that he behaved all last season, to the point where he got himself sacked. And here he is with an even bigger platform to behave like a wanker. And I fully expect him to do that. So what do you think?
No, I agree entirely. I think that I'm quite excited by... Not that I liked United under Moyes or Van Gaal, but it definitely felt different. It felt... There was kind of... there was something enjoyably risible about them in that period.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is going to really reignite some of the tensions between the two clubs, and I think that's probably a good thing. I think he will make them evil. He'll make them an empire of evil.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Rebel Alliance of Arsenal must unite to try and make sure they don't seize the throne for themselves. I mean, if you ask me, one thing I do think is, what is your actual nightmare unfolding? And that would be Jose Mourinho lifting the Premier League title for Manchester United. So we've got to pull all the stops out, certainly, to make sure that never comes to pass.
Yeah. It's not just down to us. It's down to all the other clubs, too. You know, because everybody can be united in their
hatred.
Yeah, exactly. They can be united in their hatred of Jose Mourinho. You know, Pep Guardiola at Manchester City. We know that those two have a bit of a checkered past. Jurgen Klopp. You know, when Klopp does that thing where he gets really kind of wound up and he goes, we did it before, where he detaches his jaw and goes like,
yeah, like a snake trying to eat a horse.
Yeah, exactly. So he's not going to fall. He's not going to put up with any Mourinho bullshit. I don't know about Conte at Chelsea, but you can imagine that Mourinho will have something to say there before they play. And
Ranieri, of course.
Ranieri, he's too nice. We can't expect him to do anything. But maybe Steve Bruce, back in the Premier League, could sit on him.
Eat him. He could eat when Mourinho. Yeah.
He could try and hatch him, and then, oh, this is not working, and just and eat him. That'd be good. So, yeah, well, something to look forward to anyway.
Certainly.
All right. Okay, look, we're going to take a little short break, and we're coming back with part two right after this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome back to the Arsecast Extra, sponsored today by Cornerstone, cornerstone.co.uk/arseblog. Go there and get shaving stuff, which shavesizes you. You can do it. That would be a good word, wouldn't it? Shavesize. It's like that exercise while shaving. Like bouncing on
a, have that for free.
Bouncing on a trampoline whilst shaving with a 5-blade or 3-blade razor. Shave a size.
What could go wrong?
What indeed what could go wrong? We should get a sponsor who make plasters as well. That would work in that regard. But if you do want to shave closer and better and more cost-effectively, check out cornerstone.co.uk/arseblog. Right. We're going to do questions that you sent to us on Twitter, at Gunnerblog and at arseblog. I've got one to start with here. This is one that this is one that'll make you think. Right? Comes from Antisocial Gunner, who is at Gunner_Nat. And he says, and I'm not sure if this is true, but I'm taking it to be true just for the podcast, because what's the point in doubting it too much? He says, now that we've signed Xhaka, Wenger has had a player whose surname started with each letter of the alphabet. What would your 26-man alphabet squad be? And could it win the league?
Wow.
Yeah, so let's do that, will we? An alphabet squad.
An alphabet squad.
Yeah.
Have you got a piece of paper to add to
I
help
do.
Us with this?
I do.
So we're doing surnames, are we?
It's got to be surnames, yeah. So A.
Do you want me to go through alphabetically, or should we just start filling it in?
Let's do one at a time, then. So A, who have you got?
I could have Arshavin.
We're looking to win the league here.
Okay, Adams. Maybe Adams. Then.
Adams, that might do. Okay. You could have a B then.
So your options include Steve Bould,
mm-hmm.
Hector Bellerin,
mm-hmm.
Julio Baptista.
I don't think so. We're probably going to miss out loads, you know.
We're going to miss loads of people,
Luis,
yeah.
Would Boa Morte, would he?
Boa Morte would qualify.
Yeah. Tommy Black.
Wow, that's a name I haven't heard for a while.
Graham Barrett. David Bentley.
You're doing very... David Bentley.
Nicholas Bentner, who is the greatest striker that ever lived, of course, yes. Nasser Barazite. I think we should go with Steve Bould. What do you reckon?
Do you think Bould over Bellerin, do you?
Well, maybe, yeah. Yeah, let's go with Bellerin over Bould, even though I love Steve Bould, because C, we could stick in another centre-half there, couldn't we?
Big Sol Campbell?
Yeah. Oh, well, I was going to say Marouane Chamakh, but yeah, Sol Campbell could go in there, yeah. All right, we need the D. Somebody give us the D.
The D. Okay.
Thomas Danilevicus.
Yeah.
We've already got a right back, you see, so we can't use Lee Dixon. I suppose we need depth, though, do we? Do we need depth?
Danielson's available.
Yeah, the silence there, just, you know, silence of fear.
What about the social media duties, Johan Juru?
Yeah, we do need somebody to do the post-match interview after we lose a game.
Johan Juru's got to be an option, or... Well, we do need two right backs, don't forget.
Abu Diaby. Lassana Diarra.
Lassana Diarra's having a very good time of it at the moment. I mean, maybe he would, you know, for his Arsenal performances, but...
He's having a terrible time. Did you see
financially.
The story? Yeah. He's been told to pay, was it Spartak Moscow, 10 million euros by the Court of Arbitration for Sport, and also pay the court something like 250,000 euros.
I know. He seems relatively chilled out about it, but...
I'd be kind of panicking if I had to pay somebody that much money. Well, I don't know that I would, actually, because I don't have it. So, fuck them.
Exactly. It's like my student loan. They can want it back all they want. I ain't got it.
All right, quick. Make a decision on the D.
D. I've forgotten the options. Dixon or...
Juru.
Let's have Juru for morale.
Okay. All right, we need an E. Who the hell?
Edu?
Yeah, I'm having a bit of Edu, all right. Edu's good.
I liked Edu.
F.
Ooh, Fabregas.
That'll do.
It's not bad, is it?
Yeah, it's quite good so far, this team. EFG. So we need a G. Julian Gray.
It's not going to be Gallas, is it?
No. David Grandin.
Remy Gard, of course. Kerry Gilbert.
Yeah. It's definitely not going to be William Gallas.
I mean, if we want to win the league,
we need a left back.
Grondin was a left back.
Yeah, but we need a better one than that.
Kieran Gibbs?
Yeah. Gibbs could do, couldn't he?
Oh, well, let's have Kieran Gibbs.
Okay. We've got Kieran Gibbs. So we need an H.
I can't think of an H.
Hartson? Yeah.
That would be a left field choice, certainly.
If you want to go
route
one.
Thierry Henry.
Oh, yeah. That's quite a good one, actually, isn't it?
Yeah.
And also, you do notice that with B, we left out Dennis Bergkamp.
Ooh. Who did we go for? Hector Bellerin.
Hector Bellerin. Well, I don't know. Hector, I love you, man, but...
I think it should be Bergkamp, and then D should change to Dixon.
Okay. Yeah, that makes more sense than Giroud.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Okay, so we need an I. Inamoto.
In a moment, we can decide it's Inamoto. It has to be.
Or Itonga? Didn't we have a player called Carlin Itonga?
I don't
Itonga?
Know, but I want it to be Inamoto. I liked Inamoto. I enjoyed him.
I like the fact that he looked like a Monchichi.
Exactly.
Okay, so Inamoto. Okay, we need a J now.
Juan?
Yeah.
The 4-foot-tall Brazilian left back.
We do need backup to our adequate left back in Kieran Gibbs.
Okay.
He's about the only one I can think of. No, we must have had a player called Jones down the years, surely. Didn't we? We must have. The Arsenal historians can tell us, or somebody's out there going, oh my God, I can't believe you forgot Wilf Jones, who played 177 games for Arsenal in 1912.
But it's got to be under Wenger, remember?
Does it? Oh,
oh
yeah.
Does it not?
Oh, I suppose it
does.
That
was the question.
Yeah.
Okay. Jeffers.
Let's stick with one.
Okay. Contenders are Kanu.
Mm-hmm.
Keown.
Yeah.
Danny Carbassioun.
There's some good Ks.
Koscielny.
Will we have Koscielny? Because we probably need another centre-half. Keown or Koscielny?
I think Koscielny on balance.
I like a bit of Keown. Anyway, we won't argue over this one.
Okay, fine.
Hey, JJ.
We're only on L. We need to get through this.
Well, you know what? I mean, there's a number of Ls, aren't there? There's Freddie Ljungberg, John Lukic, but we do need a goalkeeper. And Jens Lehmann?
Mad Jens.
Yeah? So we've got Jens
okay,
Lehmann.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm up for it.
M.
I can't think of an M.
Fabrice Muamba?
Fabrice Muamba. Mm. Wow.
Vito Manone?
Stephen Mounts.
Yeah.
Vito Manone.
Yeah.
Big Pair, obviously.
Yeah, Mertesacker. Didn't we have a little left back guy? Another little left back, Jermaine Mead or Junaid Mead?
Monreal, we had. Of course,
Monreal. Yeah,
we've got left backs though.
Jihad Muntasser, the only Libyan ever to have played for Arsenal.
Don't remember him.
Right. Steve Morrow, Scott Marshall.
Did they play under Wenger? Maybe Marshall did.
Alex Manninger? Alberto Mendez?
Let's have Manninger as backup keeper.
Okay, that would be good and crazy. All right. What have you got for ends?
Ends? I mean, distressingly, I've got Sami Nasri.
Right, that is a bit distressing. We ought to find something better than that. If there is anything better, there must be.
I don't think there is.
Oh, my God. There has to be.
I don't think there has been another N under Wenger.
He can't be the only N player we've ever had under Arsene Wenger. Well, let me think. Nurminerf. Oh, God. I think he could be. That means we've got to pick him. But we could put him straight in the reserves, couldn't we?
I guess so, yeah.
Oh, it's gross, though, having to pick...
way around it. If someone thinks of an N who's played under Arsene Wenger, please get in touch and we can banish Nasri.
Yeah.
Until then, he has to be part of the squad.
Oh, God. Okay. Oh.
I can make you feel better with O.
Yeah.
If an O with an umlaut's allowed, we've got Mesut Ozil.
Yeah, we do. That's, it's just a fancy O.
There we go.
So we've got Ozil. We need a P then.
Fine. Well, Park picks himself, doesn't he? I think we know who P is. One of your all-time favourites, surely.
Yeah. Well, he's
the most handsome of all the left wingers.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Robert himself.
We've got Robert Pires. Q. Surely we haven't had a Q.
I can't believe we've come this far. Oh, Quincy. Can we have Quincy? He just had Quincy on the back of his shirt.
I think that's all. Yeah, that's all we've got. Quincy Obusu away.
I loved Quincy. I genuinely thought he was going to be the new Thierry Henry.
You did have a troubled past with drugs, obviously.
That is true, yeah.
Okay, Quincy is going to have to do, because I can't think of any other cues that played. Trevor Queensland? No, he never played for us.
No, let's have Quincy. I'm delighted with having Quincy.
We need an R. Isaiah Rankin.
Rankin, yeah. Thomas Rosicki's an option.
Yeah.
Who else? Aaron Ramsey, of course.
Yeah. Thomas Rosicki. Paul Rogers.
Who would you like, Rosicki or Ramsey?
Who have we got? I mean, we've got wingers, we've got Quincy, we've got Pires. I mean, how are we in central midfield? We've got Edu and Fabregas. Do we have much in the way of backup? We've got Nasri, but we don't like him, so we're not going to play him.
Mm.
So Rosicki. Yeah, let's have Rosicki. Let's have Rosicki.
Okay.
S. Yeah, yeah.
The powerhouse up front.
Gilberto, does Gilberto Silva count?
I don't know. I wonder if he's a G. It's a difficult one, isn't that? We had another Brazilian with an S, Silvinho, but we're well stocked for left backs.
David Seaman, of course, but we do have two goalkeepers in the squad already. We don't need any more than that. So, Igor Stepanovs.
Stepanovs, Squilacci, Silvest. We've not been lucky with the S's.
Sebastian Svard.
Yes, I remember him being on the pitch at some point.
Yeah. Bakary Sagna.
Sagna's good. Do we need a right back? Have we got room for a right back? We've got Dixon, but Dixon and Sagna would be a good...
Yeah,
Andrew
Santos,
well
of course.
Stop.
Yeah, so we'll go with Sagna.
There have been some dodgy S's.
There have. So we need a T.
Colo, big Colo.
Yeah, getting a bit centre-half heavy though, are we? But Colo would be great because
he's definitely
versatile.
A heavy centre-half, that's for sure. I don't know what our other options are, T.
Bum, bum, bum. J. Emmanuel Thomas, but he's Emmanuel Thomas, isn't he?
What about Armand Traoré?
Colo Touré it is.
Colo Touré, lovely.
Okay, you.
I can only think of one.
Who's that?
You're not going to be happy. It's another centre-half.
Oh, Matthew Upson.
Yeah.
Okay. I think our limited choice here has stifled us in that regard.
It's an unusual Arsenal squad. Very, very strong at the back.
Yeah. Okay, so Upson.
So we need some strikers soon, do we?
Okay, well, there's obviously Van Persie.
Yeah, if we can live with ourselves. But there's also Patrick Vieira.
Oh, we've got to have Vieira. We've already got Bergkamp and Thierry Henry. And they're
sorry, Carlos
fit.
Vela.
It must be tough being you, Carlos. So a W. Danny Welbeck. That gives us a bit
of
striking.
Danny Welbeck is a W, isn't he? Yeah, I mean, a bit of utility. Sylvain Wiltord would be a Welbeck-esque contender, I guess.
He would.
Ian Wright.
Are we going with Wright? Yeah.
I think we are.
We're going to have to go with Ian Wright. X is the only one we can have, is Xhaka. Y. This is where I think
I don't
this
know.
Goes.
I'm asking myself the same question, to be honest, but we've come this far.
Do we have a Y? I don't think we do. I don't think we do.
We do have one Y.
Okay.
It's Nico Yanaris.
Okay. That's good. A little bit of right back cover there. We need some of that. We've only got about four right backs.
Yeah. And then we've only got one Zed, surely.
Uh-huh.
Which is Gedeon, is it not?
It is. Gedeon Zelalem. So here's our squad, right? Tony Adams, Dennis Bergkamp, Saul Campbell, Lee Dixon, Edu, Fabregas, Kieran Gibbs, Thierry Henry, Junichi Inamoto, Juan, Keown or Koscielny. We never quite got to the bottom of that, but we won't argue. Jens Lehmann, Alex Manninger, Samir Nasri, Mesut Ozil, Robert Perez, Quincy Owusu-Abey, Thomas Rosicki, Bakary Sagna, Kolo Touré, Matthew Upson, Patrick Vieira, Ian Wright, Granit Xhaka, Nico Yanaris, and Gedeon Zelalem. On the assumption that all of those guys are going to stay fit, I think that wins the league. I think
that's a brilliant squad. The one concern for me is left back, where you've only got Gibbs and Juan.
yeah, I suppose, but you could always stick Kolo
Nico
in there.
Nico Yanaris can fill in.
Yeah, exactly. Put Kolo in there. Matthew Upson could cover there as well. He's a left-footed centre-half, so he could cover there.
Well, there we go. I mean, I genuinely think that would be a pretty good squad.
Yeah. Plenty of goals. Good defence.
Plenty of goals.
Yeah, I like it. Some decent depth. All right, you have a question. You have a go.
Okay, this is a question. Have you seen, it's from Jim Clark, Jim_Clark_94 on Twitter. He says, have you seen Fat Sam dancing to Rihanna in Marbella? And out of all the Premier League managers, who do you think would win a dance-off? have you seen this video?
Sam Allardyce dancing in Marbella?
Yes.
I have not seen this video.
Right.
Do I need to see it?
You must find it. I don't know. I mean, a little bit like the Granit Xhaka video, I thought you might have chosen to avoid it.
I just didn't see it. I can go into YouTube. Allardyce dancing. And see what happens there. If I get anything.
Into the chat as well.
No, the first one. Oh, my God.
It's him dancing with JJ Okocha, is it?
Well, there's a Sam Allardyce lasso celebration, which I definitely do not want to see. And then there's one called Big Sam Goes Gangnam. So I guess that's him doing Gangnam Style, which is on a league of their own, that TV show that is supposedly
Yeah, no, don't watch
funny.
That. I've sent it to you in our chat thing that we have.
Okay. I'm getting it up here.
Again. I mean, you don't want to say that just before watching this video.
Okay. All right, I see what's happening here. I've copied the URL incorrectly. I've got to take out the word James before for some reason. Okay, here we go. Okay, nothing. Go back and play, you fucker. Okay.
Seamless. This is seamless technology happening here.
Okay.
Oh.
Oh dear, that
changed the audio.
There seems to be different audio, but I can see Sam. I can see.
Imagine it's Rihanna in the background.
Okay.
He's
enjoying it.
Away.
Shiny suit, one arm in the air, pumping. I mean, he seems to be quite a decent mover for a guy of his side. Size, rather.
How would you compare his moves to those of, say, Adam Pardew on the Wembley touchline?
Well, I would say that they're far more appropriate, given that he appears to be A, on holidays, B, in a nightclub, and C, clearly on ecstasy, and it's not in the middle of an FA Cup final, right?
Sure, fair point.
So, I mean, that's surprisingly good dancing from Allardyce. I have to say.
Okay. Yeah, I remember him dancing with JJ Okocha when Bolton survived relegation. I don't know if you remember that yourself. But
yeah.
Who would you have Premier League manager dance off?
Roberto Martinez is good. He's got those little tiny Spanish feet.
He would be good, but does he count? He's technically out of work now, is he not?
Yeah, that's true. He's not a Premier League manager anymore. Who would be a good dancer? I don't know. Can't think of it. Jurgen Klopp, I would say, but I guess he's probably into like thrash metal, so it wouldn't be much dancing. It'd be just him smashing his head around and stuff.
That's sort of a mosh pit kind of vibe, isn't it?
Yeah.
What about Guardiola? I imagine he can move a bit.
Mm, but I'd say it's quite precision
dancing.
I think
he's too uptight.
Yeah. Maybe. But maybe he just lets himself loose.
It's difficult to say. What about Arsene? How would Arsene get on?
I don't know. I don't imagine he's a great dancer, really. I've been reading the Ray Parler book, and he talks about, you know, Arsene Wenger being quite clumsy and always falling over things. So, I guess he could end up in one of those fail videos, you know, where somebody gets on a table at a wedding to dance, and the table just goes, and off they go. So I wouldn't have said that Arsene Wenger is the guy to dance. So I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, I'll run through quickly. Leicester, Ranieri, not for me.
No.
I don't, you know, maybe some gentle ballroom. Arsene Wenger, no, although I'd pay good money to see him breakdance. Pochettino, I can't really imagine it. He always seems that he's just wearing a big winter coat 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
I can't imagine him cutting loose. Guardiola.
Yeah. Bit
maybe,
of flamenco, yeah.
Maybe. Mourinho.
No.
I don't even want to think about it. A knee slide isn't really a dance move.
No. Who else?
Koeman.
No.
Koeman, Southampton.
No.
Bilic, I think that's kind of a Klopp kind of vibe, isn't
it? Yeah, definitely a heavy metal thing going on there. So not really dancing so much as shaking her head around. Who else?
Mark Hughes. I don't think Mark Hughes dances. I think he stands at the side of the dance floor and looks disapproving.
Yeah, and just as somebody goes past him, elbows him in the face. Hello? Are you there?
Hello, sorry. I lost you there briefly. Okay. I am again now. I lost you. I'll carry on going. Chelsea, Conte, I don't know. I couldn't tell you at this early stage.
No,
he's an unknown
either.
Quantity on the dark floor.
Yeah.
Swansea, he always ill. He's got that chest problem, hasn't he? So he doesn't want to be getting too active.
Yeah.
Kike Sanchez Flores would have been good, but he's gone now.
Yeah.
He's not at Watford anymore.
No. Who's the new guy? I don't
Pulis.
Know who the new guy is. Tony Pulis. Don't want to think about it.
Okay, don't want to think about it. Pardew, we know, and it's disgusting. Eddie Howe.
Well, maybe.
I think Eddie Howe, no, I think he's too shy to dance.
Do you think so?
I can imagine him sort of looking on, you know, wishing that he had the self-confidence to go out there and do it. But do you think he might be all right?
I think he might be all right. I think he could be one of the dark horses.
He's a bit of a mover. And then you've got Allardyce and then the promoted clubs. I mean, maybe it's Steve Bruce. Maybe Steve Bruce is immediately in at number one.
The number one dancer in the Premier League. And who are the other managers coming up? Who's the Middlesbrough manager?
Sean Dyche.
Oh, Sean Dyche, no.
Oh, Aitor Karanka.
Yeah, that's the guy. That's the guy.
A bit of flamenco from Karanka.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd pay good money to see it. It's like when they have the mascots race, you know, a manager dance off.
Mm.
I'd like it. I'd like it a lot.
They should, yes. Strictly Come Dancing Premier League version, something like that.
Exactly. Well, let's go with Karanka.
Okay.
In that case.
All right. Right. Here is a question from Bill Hensing at @BillHensing_96. And he says, should penalties really decide Champions League or World Cup finals? What are some alternatives? And he quotes @Rio35, who wore a tuxedo and a dicky bow on BT the other night.
I saw it was crazy.
Not that there's anything wrong with a tuxedo and a dicky bow. I quite enjoy wearing a tuxedo from time to time. But not for a Champions League final. But anyway, he reckons that penalties are a lottery. What's your take on all that?
So I don't think penalties are a lottery in the same way that a rugby player taking a conversion is not a lottery. It is a skill.
Yeah.
You know, that's like saying darts. Well, darts is a lottery, isn't it? You just chuck it at the board.
Yeah, golf. Golf, that's a lottery. You just stand there with a stick and you just... Where's it going to go?
Exactly.
Nobody knows.
Exactly. I mean, free kicks in football, they're a lottery, aren't they? I don't know why they bother with those. I think there is a skill involved in punch shootouts, and it probably is the best way. I've often thought, I know it's been trialled in the past, but I like the idea of a penalty shootout. I don't know if this is what you have in ice hockey, maybe. I don't know, but where you sort of get the ball 30 or 40 yards from goal and you get to dribble at the goalkeeper and then shoot and the goalkeeper can come out. I like that as an idea.
That would be very entertaining.
Wouldn't it just?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it just? It would like be a series of one-on-ones, basically.
Yeah. I mean, that would be a great test of skill of the footballers and also the goalkeepers. So the goalkeeper, what, starts on his line?
Goalkeeper starts on his line, let's say, and the player starts, I don't know, 30 yards from goal?
Maybe just outside the centre circle?
Yeah, it's something like that, 40 yards from goal, say. And it's all about how quickly the goalkeeper comes off his line or not. The psychology of you bearing down on goal. Do you shoot from distance, try and catch the keeper out? Do you try and go round him?
Yeah.
I just think that would be absolutely brilliant to watch.
It would be, because if the keeper comes out too quickly, all you need to do is just dink it over him.
Exactly.
And it's a goal. But if he doesn't come out quickly enough, then you've got so much goal to aim for when you go through. This would be brilliant. I mean, I'm with you on penalties. I think it's a skill. I think if you can take a good penalty, you deserve to win the match. I mean, obviously people would like to see games won in full time, but Real Madrid took 5 good penalties, shit goalkeeper notwithstanding. But yeah, it is a skill. It's not a lottery. It's not luck. It's not chance. It's actual ability and a test of your quality as a footballer, but also a test of nerve and character. But this idea, I think, has to come in. It will be so much fun. Can you imagine somebody, let's say a little bit meek, facing a goalkeeper like Jens Lehmann, for example?
Mm.
Can the goalkeeper handle the ball outside the box? Or does that automatically qualify as a goal?
Normal rules apply in that respect.
Yeah.
So, I think that would be particularly entertaining if you got past the initial 5 takers and you had, you know, Mertesacker, you know, having to take in that scenario. Like, what would you even see?
It would be fucking brilliant. I'd love that.
Yeah.
It really would be good.
I know. Is there any argument against it? Why is it? I remember Inter Milan doing it once when Robbie Keane first signed for Inter Milan. I remember he was involved in a pre-season game that was decided by those means. Because I remember him having to take in those circumstances. Mm. I think it was trialed, you know, around then.
I'd love to
see that come in.
Yeah, me too. I wonder, do they not do it because it's just more difficult for referees to manage? It's very easy to manage. Put the ball down there, kick it, that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, would you have a time limit on it? Would you have like 10 seconds or 15 seconds to put the ball in the net?
That's true. When is it over? Like with a penalty, when the goalkeeper saves it, that's the end.
Mm.
But if a goalkeeper saves it and it rebounds to you, is it still in play?
Yeah. I don't know. It would have to be, no. I mean, it'd have to be the same. If the goalkeeper saves it, that's it. No rebounds. None of that. If it hits the post and comes back to you, tough shit. You've got to put it in.
So once it touches the goalkeeper, the outfield player is no longer allowed to touch it. So it could go in off the goalkeeper,
yeah.
But you're not allowed to touch it again once it's touched the goalie.
Yeah. This would be fantastic entertainment. Really would.
It would be great.
Fuck. I'd love that.
So does that mean if you try and go around the goalkeeper and he gets a hand to it, but the ball still bounces into your path?
Yeah, you see, this is where it gets...
Have you lost the chance?
This is where it's getting complicated. This is probably why it doesn't happen, because, that's probably why, stuff like that. What do you
do
there?
I don't know, something along those lines. I do think also, like, in as far as people say, oh, penalties is a lottery, that's not true, but it is a very particular skill and not one that's necessarily, you know, used many times in a game or as part of open play, whereas this, I think, is more akin to open play.
Yeah.
So
be great. Plus, at the end of the day, though, I do think professional players who train every day of the week, regardless of what position you are, you should be able to score a penalty. I think.
Yeah.
Unless you're
I think that's fair enough.
Like, just completely rubbish at kicking a football. Like,
I'm sure they can under normal circumstances. I think, like, the psychological element is a massive factor, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it must be. But you
unless you're Chamakh,
get the fuck over it. I know there's a psychological element, but you know, man the fuck up, get on with it. Score
we're all
a penalty.
Under pressure in our job. Sometimes I'm nervous before this podcast, you know, but we still get it done.
We still do it. Exactly. All right. Have you got another one? One more, quick one.
I've got one more.
Right.
It's obviously a stupid one.
Right.
Cod Chops. You can tell from his name, it's going to be trouble.
Mm-hmm.
At Cod Chops 81. asks, a pigeon with a potato masher versus a budgie with an egg whisk. Who wins?
Pigeon. It's about fucking 10 times the size of a budgie. And it's got a masher.
And also, a potato masher is a better weapon than an egg whisk.
Yeah, what the fuck is a budgie with a whisk going to do? Just slightly ruffle
fly
the
away if it's got any sense.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of there because there's a pigeon coming for you with a potato masher.
Yeah.
Pigeons might as well call it a budgie masher. That budgie's fucked.
Yeah, there's no question about who's going to win that one. So that wasn't a very satisfying end of podcast question. So I'm going to do one more.
Okay, go on.
It comes from Alex, who's at Shemak My Bitch Up, which is good.
Okay.
He said, would you rather be able to read or be able to read minds but be illiterate?
I think read minds, you know.
Do you think so?
I think so. I think, you know, you could get away. These days, the tools, my Mac's quite good at that thing where you just talk into it and it types it up. I've actually got that switched on during the podcast. I've got a perfect transcript of everything we've just said over the past hour written down. I think that would enable you to get away with it. Reading minds would be a very powerful tool.
I don't think I'd like it, though. I don't think you... I mean, do you choose? Can you just, like, let's say we're in the same room and I look at you and I go, and I can read your mind. That's one thing. But what if you walked into a bar and you
a football stadium.
Or a football stadium, and you, all of a sudden you just hear the noise of all the minds in the football stadium. Imagine. It'd be deafening, maddening.
If I can have it as an option, then great. But I don't want it as a definite.
Yeah, but you don't know. You don't know. This is the risk you take before you choose it.
Tricky. Okay. I'm still going to gamble because ultimately I'd rather have a superpower than not.
Right.
Call me shallow, guys, but that's how I feel.
All right. No, I wouldn't go for it. I think you're probably better off not knowing what people are thinking most of the time. I think that's part of why we have managed to survive this long as a race. As a
without
species.
Killing all of each other.
Yeah, exactly. I think if you knew what everybody was thinking, you would either just try and kill everyone or kill yourself because it would be so profoundly depressing and distressing, the shit that goes on inside people's heads. I think there's a good reason why our thoughts aren't out loud. You know, some
quite
stuff
possibly.
Needs to be kept in there because otherwise...
Quite.
Yeah.
It'd be trouble.
Yeah, it would be trouble. And what about people that you really like? And then you go, oh my God, I've just read that person's mind and, oh, they're disgusting. Fuck them.
True.
The things they're thinking about, of doing.
We wouldn't be able to do this podcast if you could know what was in my head, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You'd be very off-put, let me tell you.
All right, well, see, thankfully this is just hypothetical and not actual real.
Or is it? Do I know what you're thinking? Have I actually done this deal with the
devil? Okay, hang on. I'll think of something right now, and if you can tell me what I'm thinking, then my mind will be blown. Here I go. Right, I'm thinking of it.
Is it mutilating John Terry's body?
Oh, for fuck's sake, how did you do that?
I thought it might be.
Shit. All right, okay. Well, this is
the same every time with you. It's the same every time.
Sets us onto dangerous territory here. But look, don't tell anyone that other thing I was thinking about just before that, all right?
Okay, I won't. Yeah, keep that one quiet.
Okay.
Keep that one quiet.
All right, well, listen, thank you, as always, for listening, everybody. Have yourselves a great week. European Championships, when are they starting? It's a few weeks, isn't it?
A couple of weeks. Yeah.
Okay, so we still got time. We've still got time. All right, well, listen, have a good one, and we will talk to you on next week's Arscast Extra.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.